Well, bless your beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. By now, I'm sure you've enjoyed Kathy Derscher's lecture to her college students on dental hygiene and the effects of stress on our bodies. She really did a wonderful job, and I appreciated it, on overcoming stress with good hygiene, diet, and most of all, a positive mental attitude. Since it was a college lecture, which Kathy does as a professor there, she was not free to show the great spiritual side in overcoming stress and its debilitating effects on our health, which she has given me that privilege now to share with you a little bit. So I thought I'd take some time so that you have a good package of information and truths in which to work in regard to eliminating stress from our lives and living powerfully, living abundantly, and living in peace. John chapter 14, it says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's a peace you're not going to get from the world. That's why Jesus Christ had to give it to us. It's his peace, not the world's peace. The world may say there's peace, may promote certain things for your own peace of mind, but really they are ineffectual and they don't provide it. More importantly, Jesus Christ gave us his peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." It's so easy to allow your heart to be battered around by the world, and really all you get out of it is a bunch of trouble. And the scriptures do tell us what we do get from the world. We get tribulation. So go to John chapter 16, just another page over, and we'll look at verse 33. So we'll see what you do get in this world. But his peace, not the peace of men, or as men of the world might have for us. But it's his peace. It's a tranquility of the soul is what we really, what Jesus Christ has provided for us. Great tranquility of the soul. Men try to medicate themselves away from the troubles of the world, from the cares of the world. But all they do is mask the troubles of the world because they don't solve them. So what they give them is something that will mask their way through and mask their feelings or mask their emotions, mask their mental faculties so that they don't get the full effect of the tribulation. But eventually all medications wear off and you still have the same problems and the same things because you haven't made a great change in your heart and in your mind. And all of these particular medications do have an unpleasant side of and other drugs and things, but they never solve the problem. That's where the trouble is. Well, here in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." That in me you might have peace. Well, what things? Well, things like Matthew 21, 22. "In all things, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and ye shall have them." Lots of great things, comfort to us, the greatness of God, his love for us, his great kindness toward us, his mercy, his tenderness, healing, deliverance, all of the things that Jesus Christ spoke of. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not it might happen to you, or it could possibly be your luck in life or your fate. No, ye shall have tribulation. It's going to be there. The tribulation, the stress, and all of the actions of that, ye shall have it. ye shall have it in this world. That's what the world provides. But we have his peace. Even when the world tells us you have peace, even within that peace, there is much tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we take his words, we too will overcome the world. If we really make that our heart. He has overcome the world right at the source because he defeated our spiritual enemies and then gave us power and authority over them. Solve the problem. That's why we have peace. We have that great tranquility. Let's go to Psalm 20. Psalm 20 has a tremendous, wonderful thing to tell us. But you can seek it through the men of the world. I'm telling you, though, you're just going to be disappointed. In Psalm 20, verse 1, it says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." Who? The Lord. The Lord hears you in the day of trouble, not many days after. Not where we're troubled about something and we'll finally get around and see if we want to vote on it or if our our political people are just going to pass something after they argue for it for 25 years and so on and so forth. The Lord hears thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Isn't that beautiful? That's the administration we want, not one like Benghazi where you're kind of just kind of left out there, but we're looking to this administration of God. He will defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful thing we have. The words, send thee strength, the strength is a courage in war proceeding from a reliance on the favorableness of a divine favor. How's that? Encouragement and courage proceeding from divine favor. And that's what we always have with him. We always have his favor. Beautiful. Just a tremendous thing. So we know that my peace, I leave you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. So how do I have peace? How do I overcome this stress? I live in this world and I will have tribulation. So now how do I overcome it? Well, let's go to Isaiah 26. A great set of scriptures and a tremendous truth for us in this record. Isaiah 26, and I'm sure you've probably heard this before. Perhaps you've memorized it and enjoyed the benefits of what it has to say. Repeating it in your thoughts and repeating it in your heart. But I wanted to share it with all of you so you have the great opportunity to see these tremendous truths. By the way, I have Kathy sitting right here next to me. She did such a great job on that and it was really inspiring to my heart, the things she shared, because it brought to my mind so many scriptures and so many truths. And then some of the statements she made were just almost shocking to my mind in the truth that they kept. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." He trusteth in thee. When you trust in man, you're not going to really get peace, because man is unreliable. But to trust in God, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." The word "keep" in the Hebrew means to be a guard in the sense of protecting you. It will protect your mind. It will protect your heart. "Thou wilt keep him." God, thou wilt guard him. God, thou wilt protect him in Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt guard him and protect him in perfect peace. The words perfect peace is actually in the Hebrew peace, peace. It's a double usage of the word. Anytime something's doubled in the word, it means it's going to come to pass immediately. So the moment that you allow him to guard your heart, to guard your mind, you've got perfect peace. Now, this peace, peace is a tranquility through a certainty and a continuation. Isn't that nice? In other words, it's peace upon peace, peace upon peace. It just keeps building. You have peace, and he just adds more peace on top of it. That's why our prayer life should be such a blessing to us, that all you need to do is say, hey, I need to just sit down. I need to just relax here for a minute. And I think of it in terms of receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, breathe in. Relax. Peace. Just let that peace, you know, I think of that beautiful song, peace, peace is flooding my soul. All of these great things. Just relax. You've got God. Mm-hmm. He's your heavenly Father. He watches over you. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Frankie says, relax. Chill out. Easy. Take it. Remember, peace, the effects of righteousness is peace. And he has made unto us righteousness. See, don't let the world shake you out of the peace. Even when everyone else in the world is all shook up, you don't have to be. Be at peace. And it's peace upon peace. Thou wilt, he will keep them. He will guard you in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Well, the only way you're going to really trust in him, first of all, is to get to know him as a heavenly Father. Like Jesus Christ so openly declared, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, can you trust that? Absolutely. That's why you can just relax. I think of the wonderful scriptures in 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. It's so simple. It is so simple. I know then people get all troubled. Well, maybe I'm not asking according to his will. Well, he's a very simple God. He's a very loving God. Pretty much anything that you might need, he will do. So why don't you just relax? But I haven't seen it. Relax. He's going to do it. Relax. Breathe. And then we'll get into speaking in tongues in a minute. Whose mind is stayed, not swayed. You see, it says stayed. It doesn't say swayed. Whose mind is stayed on thee. And that word stayed means to come into a state and then remain there. You trust in him. We have known and believed the love God hath to us. You know it. You believe it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know it and believe it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Relax. Relax. Remember the great teaching that Gil did? There's no enmity between us and God. Relax in his loving arms. Relax. I think of some of the photographs and things that I've seen of a child just sound asleep in their mother's arms or sound asleep over their dad's shoulder. Relax. Relax. Take it easy. Don't let the world shake you up. The world's going to always be in turmoil. They're upset about everything, even stuff they don't even know about yet. They're upset about it. Many of you know that in your job situations, for instance, you have people that are just stressed out beyond belief about things that they heard, not things that were actually taking place. They're already stressed out from things they heard. Don't contribute to it. Be at peace and let your peace share it with them. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Great book of Psalms. Because stress is so detrimental to our physical health, if you can really get this down, it will increase your health in a tremendous way. If you can learn how to be at peace, or like Kathy said, have a positive attitude. And I hear the arguments, well, you're just being Pollyanna. Well, great, then I'll be Pollyanna. I don't care. Why should I stress and worry about things? Many of the things you have absolutely no control over things that our government are doing, whether it makes you happy or makes you sad, you don't really have much control over it. So why worry about it day after day? The news things, we hear stuff that's happening in China. What has that got to do with me? I'm seated in the heavenlies. All these things are under my feet. But I can have a greater effect on it as I pray and as I get quiet on the inside. Just spend time just getting peaceful, get quiet. Look at Psalm 1. Verse 2. Well, we'll read it from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means he takes pleasure in doing. That's literally what that word means. You get great pleasure in doing. You get pleasure in hearing it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, the word law is the word Torah, which is actually more of a spoken, more of a spoken thing. In other words, say it to yourself. Sit down and remind yourself, Larry, he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He will supply all of your need. Whatsoever you ask him in prayer, believing, you're going to receive. I know and believe the love God hath to us. See, just say it to yourself. Put that on in your heart. Let that sink down. Let it guard and protect your heart. See? He delivered my soul from hell. You know, I have these wonderful promises. And again, why don't we go ahead and read 1 John 5? I've said it so many times, but I just want to sit for a moment and read it with you. And I'd like you to just take a deep breath and let it out. Relax. Let the peace just flood over you. Just relax. Nothing's required of you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It says in 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Well, if I ask him concerning health, is it according to his will? Mm-hmm. If I ask him concerning prosperity, is it according to his will?
Absolutely.
If I ask him in regard to forgiveness, is it according to his will? Mm-hmm. Whatsoever we shall ask, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. But I don't see it yet. Relax. It'll be there. Just relax. Don't get all shook up. Don't let the world shake you up. The world will tell you you needed it 14 days ago. Meanwhile, anything you need from them, it takes 30 days for them to supply it or more. So relax. Chill out. He will do it. He will. Beautiful. Let your mind remain on these things. And on top of that, let's go to Isaiah 28. Because this is really where I wanted to get with you today, because I have another special project that those of you that are interested in being a part of it, I would appreciate if you let me know, send me an email with your name, and make sure I have your email address. But we get quite a few situations to pray for, much more than Connie and I can take care of in a day. And really, the love that we have for the brethren needs this attention every day. So what I would like to do is have a group of intercessors, people who are willing to take one or maybe two items that need prayer and just say, I'm going to pray for it every day. I am going to dedicate some time. 3 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you want. You decide in your heart. You know, maybe some days you'll be inspired to pray longer for it. But needs of our brethren, for instance, where we have people who have been attacked with illnesses and things like that, people who have been attacked financially and some of these other things, that you'll just take time every day to pray for the situation. And I will send it to you. I'll tell you what the situation is. Even if I don't know the fullness of it, you know, we know that by speaking in tongues, it makes intercession according to the will of God. And we also know when we know not what to pray for as we ought, we can speak in tongues and know that it'll be taken care of. So if you would like to be a part of our intercessors, then go ahead and give me an email, and we'll give you specific things to pray for. I've had several people that have already emailed me and asked, are there special things I could pray for the ministry, or special things I could pray for you and Connie? It's more expansive than just Connie and I, or even just the ministry at times. But we will give you these things I'd like you to guard with prayer, because in Isaiah, it tells us this wonderful truth, and I want to set it for you once again. And that's why I need you to be at peace. I need you to be comforted, wherewith, as Corinthians says, you may comfort others. In Isaiah chapter 28, and we'll start in verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" How to believe rightly. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, ones who want to get to the meat. You know, you've been weaned from the milk. In other words, you really have established in your heart, he will never leave me nor forsake me. You who have established in your heart, I know and believe the love God hath for me and for my brethren. I know that God forgives. I know that he supplies all of our need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I know that whatsoever I ask according to his will, he hears me. And that if he hears me, we have those petitions we have desired of him. Those who have already tasted the milk of it, and now you're ready for some meat. In other words, you're ready to put those truths into action. That whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Those of you who are ready to take a bite of the meat, so to speak, and sort of help out, because you've practiced these things, and now you're weaned. You've grown up a little bit. You know, you don't need, you know, you're off the milk. You're ready to ingest something a little bigger and put your heart into it. That's what we're looking for. Well, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. There it is. I already know the principles of speaking in tongues. I know what it does. I know the profit of speaking in tongues. I know the benefits of speaking in tongues. I know the truths of God's will for our prosperity. I know he has given me the power to get wealth. Precept upon precept. I know how to do it. Line upon line, line upon line. I know these scriptures. I know them line by line, word by word. I've got them in my heart. I've said them time and time again. I've repeated them to myself, and they are definitely a part of my life. See, I've got the precepts of the word down. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I've got those precepts down. I've got those precepts that I give with a love of honor at the core of it. See, I've got those precepts down, and I've got it line by line, word by word, in the depth of my heart. Here a little and there a little. I've done it step by step, moment by moment, time by time, day after day. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And this is in regard to speaking in tongues, sure. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the what? Weary to rest. Well, I have a brother who's been weary because he's been attacked by sickness. And I'm going to give him some rest by the rest that I have. Because the word rest, the first word, to whom he said, this is the rest. In the Hebrew, it is the definite article, meaning the rest. In other words, this one's the rest. You know, a lot of people have talked about different rests, but when he said with the stammering lips and another tongue, this is that rest he was talking about. You'll read it. You can read in Hebrews that they entered into his rest. This is the rest he's talking about. It's the definite article, the rest. The one I was talking about, the one I was telling you where you just have that peace. You have that great comfort because, you know, regardless of what goes on, God still delivers. He doesn't make a promise and say, I really wanted to fulfill that, but, you know, times have changed. No, God is almighty. He is all-seeing. He is all-knowing. He's not just finding out. You know, he already knows. He knew long before the world began that we would be living in this day and time. He knew who would be, you know, he knew everything. It's not something that sneaks up on him, and he wasn't prepared for that. He's prepared for everything. That's why you just relax. He already knew this was going to come up. He already knew you would have this need, and so he's got it ready. This rest that you may cause the weary to rest. Isn't that beautiful? You may cause the weary to rest because of your intercessions for them. And you can bring them into that very same rest. That wonderful confidence, trust, and relaxation you have in the scriptures. Just a beautiful, most wonderful thing. and then it goes in that they might, let's see, to whom, where you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. He's talking about Israel, but we have heard, and we should be refreshed by it. Isn't that beautiful? Just a gracious, wonderful abundance and beauty of it. Enter the rest. This is the one he was talking about. I think of the quote that Kathy said about Mark Twain, that he's had, there were many misfortunes in life that he had, that, what was it, Kathy, exactly?
Most never happened.
Yeah, that most never even happened.
Yeah.
You know, get that rest and bring them into that rest. She talked about stress being a mismatch between the demand, the perceived demands versus the ability to do. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with inner strength. Breathe. Get that quiet time. Just take some time to relax. Kathy mentions one of the students that she was counseling with, and she talked about, you know, when you get in your car, you're away from everything, you're in there by yourself. Just before you go, breathe a little bit. Take a minute. Okay. I'm going to go. There's going to be traffic out there, but, you know, God is with me, and he directs my steps. He'll, you know, I have to steer the car, yes, but he will direct my steps. Relax. Chill out. Beautiful. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. So, again, if you would like to be a part of our intercessors and would like to commit yourself to do that, that would be great. We all need to increase in our speaking in tongues. We all need to speak in tongues more. No matter how much you are doing it in the daytime, you need to do it more. Enter into that rest and remain in it. I remember at one time we used to put a little dot on our hand to remind us to speak in tongues. Whatever you need to do, you know, if you need a little dot on your hand, wonderful. If you want to write SIT, if you want to write sit, speak in tongues across your hand, I don't care, but enter into that rest and remain there. What did I say? We're going to go to Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, 13. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." So you want to have a merry heart. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. That's God's anti-aging cream. I'll tell you right there. Beautiful. it'll clear up your complexion for sure. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Here's another one that Kathy touched on in her sharing with us. Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, or the Amplified says, "A merry heart." The Amplified Bible, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine," or "a merry heart worketh an excellent cure." That's the Amplified Bible. "A merry heart worketh an excellent cure." It's not, because it's not just a medicine. As Kathy shared so beautifully, she talked about Tylenol. All Tylenol and medications basically do is mask the problem. It does not solve the problem. It masks the problem. But a merry heart works and encourages an excellent cure. And the word cure means to remove the bandage, because it's healed. You remove the bandage. It doeth good is it causes, or it makes sound. It makes well. It's the cause. It is the cure. You want a cure for your heartache? Get a merry heart. It's the cure. It's not just the bandage. It's not just the mask to wear over it while you're crying on the inside. It is the cure. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And here it is. Well, I'm back much further back. Okay. Aren't these great records? Mm-hmm. It will increase your health. All these other things, as Kathy shared, you know, when you have stress, it triggers 1,400 different things in your body. Good gosh. But imagine if you could bring them all back into harmony the way God designed them, and they all function properly. And the defenses he's already put in the body have an opportunity to work at their full potential rather than divided because it has to take care of some lack in another area of your body. Everything just working together. Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. The word still means to cast down the arms, to be calm, to be without anxiety. Remember Philippians? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, let your prayers and supplications be made known to God. Beautiful. Exodus 14, this word still is the same word in Exodus 14:13, where it says, "Stand ye still and behold the salvation of the Lord." It means to just, you know, let the pressure off. Just let the arms hang down. What was happening was they were being attacked. But it said, he said, "Stand ye still, just relax. Don't worry about what man does. Look, they're the ones that are the ones that are going to get beaten, not us." So when you put your trust in man, that's what you're going to get. But if you trust in God, just relax. It's what happens when you rely on the strength of man, but I am the all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present God. Take a chill pill. Relax. I see it all, and nothing sneaks past me. I see a lot further down the line than you do. You see an army standing there, armed, angry, ready to attack. You have images in your heart and mind. Everything you have is going to be destroyed. But you know what? I see further down. I see them all flat. And I see you gaining all of the things that they have stolen, all of these things. I see you gaining. You see yourself going into this battle. But I see it. You've already won it. So don't fret. Don't fret. Well, let's go ahead and close this out. I do want to go back to that great verse that Kathy shared with us in Proverbs 17. Let's go back there. And again, I want to remind you about our intercessors. If you really desire to help the brethren, there's a lot of physical things to do. There's all these different things, but there are not a lot of people that just take the time to do the intercessory prayer, where we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but you can pray perfectly for them. You can make the requests for them that are exactly perfect, suitable, and just right for their situation, and it'll do a lot on some of these things. I love that people do that. And if you can speak in tongues and do that while you're there, that I love that. That is great. But some of us don't have certain skills and certain skill sets in a lot of areas, but we do have the ability to make perfect intercession for the saints. I'm not trying to belittle these beneficial things that people do. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to encourage you and to spark your mind on what this intercession can do. And if you plan to do that, then I know that you're speaking in tongues every day, and every day you are entering into that rest. That's really what I'm after. Proverbs 17, a cheerful heart, a merry heart doeth good. It is the cure. This is the cure. We're not masking symptoms. We're actually bringing the cure. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love and great goodness. Thank you, Father, for the power and authority you've given to us, and in the reality of your gift of Holy Spirit being manifested. That, Father, at any time, we can know that the things you have told us are absolutely true because we have a manifestation of it, that we can operate at our will any time in our lives. And, Father, for all of the wonderful benefits.